Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, so how's being congressman these days? Do you like it? Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever come home and say, God, that was a tough day at the office?
Well, you know, it's tough times now, but I was a member of probably the most productive Congress we had when we did pass health care and Dodd-Frank and helped start us towards recovery. And now I'm a member of the least productive Congress. And, of course, the leadership has flipped. And I'd prefer to be getting more things done. But, you know, bottom line, this terrible spectacle of the shutdown and the debt default, that's a fight we never should have had. But it was a fight we couldn't avoid once the Tea Party folks made a decision that unless they got their way on repealing the health care bill, they were going to shut government down and default on our debt. And the reason it was important is two things. Number one, now health care is the law of the land, and the issue is going to be about addressing the serious challenges of implementation. And then second, it was absolutely essential to repudiate his legitimate tactics like shutdown and default on our debt. And, you know, we stood firm on that. The president stood firm, and that it was a very necessary and essential outcome for the future of our democracy.
What were you hearing, Peter Welch, from the constituents?
Well, they're dismayed and really, really upset about the spectacle of Congress doing the shutdown and threatening not to pay our bills. I mean, people just are scratching their heads and in some cases quite angry that it's come to that, and legitimately so. I mean, I think people have a real right to expect that Congress is going to be an institution that functions like other institutions, and that it passes laws that help people back home be more successful in doing their jobs. But, you know, what you have in Congress is a reflection of what we have in America. You know, you've got a gerrymandered district where you've got folks who come from districts that actually where Obama lost by 25 points, and the people in those districts were really encouraging the shutdown and the default approach. To some extent, the polarization we have in Congress reflects polarization we have in the country. Some of it is a result of this extreme gerrymandering that I see as a major problem.
Is there any way around that? I mean, the Supreme Court said a long time ago, Felix Frankfurter, stay out of the political thicket, let the states do what they want. What's the way out of gerrymandering?
But the way out is to have nonpartisan electoral commissions rewrite the districts rather than partisan politicians in the statehouse. In California, in Iowa, you know, they have nonpartisan commissions, and it really has had a major impact where the folks who get elected, whether they're Republican or Democrat, all have to pay attention to the cross-section of views that are in that district. Right now, if you've got a boutique district that is just, you know, very red state designed, sure, went 25 points, say, against Obama, then the Republicans in that district fear only one thing, and that's a primary challenge. And that is really what was the underpinning of a lot of the energy for the shutdown and default strategy.
During the shutdown, were you on the phone with Senators Leahy and Senator Bernie?
Well, I was talking to them. Really, we were all in the Capitol quite a bit.
Right.
But the issues that we faced on the shutdown were really different in the House than in the Senate.
Oh, indeed.
You know, the Senate, it was a bipartisan bill to keep the lights on in government, and there was no serious threat of default over there other than by Ted Cruz. So he was using the filibuster provisions in the of the Senate to really advocate for a dead-end strategy that was picked up by the House. And then John Boehner basically went along with that rather than he, you know, this is the irony of it. John Boehner knew that it was impossible to repeal the health care bill. You know, it had been passed by the House and the Senate, it had been signed by the president, approved by the Supreme Court, and, of course, the American people voted for Obama, not Romney, when health care was a major issue in the race. So he knew it couldn't get done. He also knew that shutdown was a dumb tactic, and he knew that the debt ceiling was catastrophic to our economy. But he, as he put it, got rolled. And what happened is there was a very, very strong Tea Party minority in the House, maybe 80 members. And then what I mentioned earlier about the gerrymandered districts and the threat of a primary, a lot of the what I would call pragmatic Republicans were really caught in the crosshairs and felt they had to go along with this proposal, basically up until the 17th of October when we were about to default, and they just exhausted every bad idea they had. So this was a terrible thing to put the country through, and the idea of having a debate where the premise is that it's okay, that at the end we won't pay the money we owe, that's just bewildering to people, and it did damage to our reputation. I mean, there's a lot of reports about how in European capitals, they just were dismayed. And, you know, we shouldn't mess with our reputation. It's very important for America to stand tall and be responsible and not have these debates that act as though an irresponsible outcome is acceptable.
Did John Boehner know what he was doing, you know, playing to the right all the way through, and at the last minute say, okay, now I've given you all of this sort of lip service, but now I'm going to make sure everybody gets a chance to vote, and knew the outcome?
That's pretty much what happened. I mean, he let them exhaust every bad idea they had. They all failed. Some of them they got through the House, but at the end, even the Republicans were totally split internally. And ultimately, when the Senate passed the clean continuing resolution and extended the debt ceiling, he allowed that bill to be put on the floor, and of course it passed. Now, this is a bad sign, actually, though. 60% of the Republicans voted against it. You know, Boehner voted, and Cantor and McCarthy, the top leaders, but Ryan, the budget wizard, and 11 of the chairs of the committees voted against it. So there's a real continuing Tea Party grip on the Republican caucus.
So, Peter, tell me, do they do it again?
No, I don't think they will, and there's two reasons. Number one, the American people figured it out that this was just absolutely out of bounds, and the polling showed that. And this included people who were opposed to the health care bill but said, hey, you can't do a constitutional end run, shut down government, default on our debt, do a lot of damage to get your way. And they get it, that, you know, if you're going to pass a law or repeal a law, you've got a burden. It's a big burden. You've got to get the votes. You've got to get the House, the Senate, the signature of the president. If it goes to the Supreme Court, it's got to be validated. And the American people really have repudiated these tactics.
And the second reason?
The second reason is I'm introducing legislation that would basically change the way the debt ceiling is addressed. The debt ceiling is not about authorizing new spending. It's paying for spending already authorized.
And why would they vote for that? Well, it's a good idea, but why would they vote for it?
With the Tea Party folks, they won't. But here's what it would do, is say that when we vote for a budget, let's say it includes going to war in Iraq or Afghanistan, that at the moment we vote for it, it has implications on the debt. And the vote would be about authorizing whatever spending was in that bill and having the debt ceiling rise to a level required to accommodate what Congress just did.
Okay, I'm sorry, because we're running out of time here, Peter, but I wanted to give you the third reason, the real reason that they won't do it, in my opinion, which is the Democrats will take the House if they do it again. And what they have to pray for now is that everybody forgets how badly they messed up.
Well, you're right, and that's what I was talking about with the polls, that people got it, that this was just an irresponsible tactic. You know, my hope here is that everybody's going to learn a lesson, especially the Tea Party wing, and realize that Americans are looking for us to find common ground and common sense solutions.
I don't think they're going to learn a lesson. I think it's like Slim Pickens riding down on the bomb, you know, and saying Yahoo in Dr. Strangelove.
Right. That was a great scene.
Hey, Peter Welch, we're going to come back again and talk to you soon. I very much appreciate that. When we come back, you're a guy who would understand this. I don't understand what the NSA thing is all about. Maybe you can explain that to me.
All right.